This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. To verse 19. I'd like somebody to read it. Jeremiah 2, verse 13 to verse 19.
My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Is Israel a servant, a slave by birth? Why then has he become plunder? Lions have roared, they have growled at him. They have laid waste his land. His towns are burnt and deserted. Also, the men of Memphis and Tahpanhes have shaved the crown of your head. Have you not brought this yourselves by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? Now, why go to Egypt? To drink water from the Shihor? And why go to Assyria? To drink water from the river? Your wickedness will punish you. Your backsliding will rebuke you. Consider then and realize how evil and bitter it is for you when you forsake the Lord your God and have no awe of him, declares the Lord Almighty. Amen.
Read verse 20.
Long ago, you broke off your yoke and tore off your bonds. You said, I will not serve you. Indeed, on every high hill and under every spreading tree, you lay down as a prostitute.
Yeah. God had a complaint with Israel, and that complaint was the unfaithfulness of Israel. The unfaithfulness of Israel. We have been looking at the need for faithfulness to God. But God had a complaint. And that complaint was just that Israel was unfaithful. Over and over, they broke up the yoke, the chains. The things that bound them to God, they broke it off to go after your idols. Jeremiah chapter 3, from verse 6 to verse 13. Someone read it, please.
During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spread and has committed adultery there. I thought that after she had done all this, she would return to me, and she did not. And her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. Because Israel's immorality mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood. In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord. The Lord said to me, faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Go proclaim this message towards the north. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods. Under every spreading tree, and have not obeyed me, declares the Lord.
Yeah, the Bible is using an analogy of marriage between God and the people of Israel and Judah. Our relationship to God is a covenant relationship. We signed up to belong to God. And God says that he had two situations to deal with. On the one hand, there was Israel, the northern kingdom, which he calls faithless Israel. And on the other hand, there was Judah, whom he calls unfaithful Judah. Faithless, unfaithful. There is something like the first aspect of faithfulness that must be settled in the heart of every believer is what we will term covenant faithfulness. That is, faithfulness to somebody, faithfulness to God, faithfulness to man. It is covenant faithfulness that keeps a man in his marriage and keeps a woman in her marriage. That is faithfulness to somebody. That's the first aspect of faithfulness. We may have talked about unfaithfulness so much, but there is covenant faithfulness. Remaining faithful to somebody. Remaining faithful to God. Whether it is Solomon being faithful to his father, whether it is the Rechabites being faithful to their ancestor, that is faithfulness to somebody. It is covenant faithfulness. You are faithful within an understood relationship. And you are faithful to the terms of that relationship. You are true to the fact that you belong to that person. And you live within the constraints defined by that relationship. When a woman lives within the constraints defined by her marriage, she is a faithful woman. If she breaches the constraints and develops an intimacy with someone else, when she belongs to another person, it is termed unfaithfulness. Same with a man. There is covenant faithfulness. And one of the things that we have to understand is that we must understand first of all that our relationship to God is a covenant relationship. We have been covenanted to God. What we call believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is an initiation process. You were initiated from being a child of the devil to becoming a child of God. And that initiation carries with it terms and conditions. And those terms and conditions, first of all, establish that Jesus will be Lord and you will be subordinate. When a man leaves out the terms of a relationship, he is called faithful. When a man disobeys the terms of a relationship into which he voluntarily entered, he is called unfaithful. And according to the Bible, God describes him in the same terms like a woman who goes out to commit adultery. So to God, the worship of idols by Israel after accepting the covenant of Sinai was adultery. They had become the people of God, but they could afford to go and worship idols. And God does not mix the words, and he just calls them adultery. He calls it adultery. They committed adultery with stone, with wood. That's the material with which the idols were made. So there is faithfulness to somebody. Many of you and many of us have made commitments. The commitment to be somebody's disciple. Now, before we come to the matter of being faithful to man, all disloyalty to man starts with disloyalty to God. I don't even think there should be a need to dwell much on loyalty to man. Because all disloyalty, where men understand that having accepted Jesus Christ, they belong to him and they live, they should live for him. If that much is not understood, and a person maintains a sense of freedom and independence and self-determinism after offering allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is unfaithful. And he will be judged. God will judge him. He has not been faithful to the person he belongs to. He has not been faithful to the relationship that he has embraced. Are you faithful to Christ? You accepted Jesus to be your Lord and to be your Savior. Have you been faithful to that relationship? Is he in control? Does he lead? Did you understand the terms of your salvation? I'll take only one aspect about the terms of salvation. In Hebrews chapter 5, can someone read verse 8 and 9 especially? Somebody who knows how to read English.
From what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him.
Amen. Jesus saves those who obey him. It's as simple as that. The Lord Jesus saves those who obey him. Although he was a son, he learned obedience to God by the things that he suffered. And having been made perfect, perfect in obedience, he became the source of eternal salvation to those who obey him. It is not possible to receive the salvation of Jesus without the obligation of obeying Jesus. Jesus saves those who obey him. It is as simple as that. It is as clear as that. He saves those who obey him. Are you saved? You don't have to wait for judgment day to answer it. It's as simple as whether you have decided to obey him or not. That is covenant faithfulness. That we belong to someone on certain terms. The terms in which he is our Savior determine that we who want to be saved will obey him. Who has grasped what we mean by covenant faithfulness? Covenant faithfulness means that you are leaving out the terms of the relationship into which you have entered. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you were initiating yourself into a relationship. In that relationship, he provided his blood as an atonement. That's what depends on him. He died on the cross for you That's what depends on him. And on your part, you come to him to repent of your sins, to turn away from them. That's what depends on you. God is not going to repent for you. In your own, what depends on you, you believe on him. God is not going to believe for you. As far as what depends on you, you obey him. And God is not going to obey in your place. And where we neither repent, nor believe, nor obey, we have abrogated the covenant. We have destroyed the terms of belonging. Covenant faithfulness is not unconditional belonging. It is a belonging within a clearly understood framework. I want us to understand that very, very clearly, because there is an understanding of salvation that appears as if we are doing God some great favor. There is a taking for granted of what God has done through Jesus Christ. Something like God was in heaven and he was feeling so lonely, he invented salvation to make sure that he doesn't lose us. So we can come around, and if the going is very hard, we tell him that if he doesn't settle us, as we say in Nigeria, he doesn't get things comfortable for us, we'll teach him a lesson by going off to the world a little. The truth is, nobody does that with God. You were the one who was the gutter material, and Jesus stepped in to save you. And when you come to the Lord Jesus, you have got to learn how to live the new life and what it means to belong to Jesus. And part of learning what it means to belong to Jesus means you learn fundamentally to obey him. And the Bible conditions your salvation on obedience. It doesn't condition your salvation on all forms of theology and doctrines about grace. Grace is the ability to do what God wants you to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. But grace makes you do what God wants. Whatever grace doesn't get you to do what God wants is not called grace. The Bible calls it in Romans chapter 6 a license for sin. Some have turned the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ into a license for sin. Grace is not licentiousness. Grace gets us be and do what God saved us to be and to do. It gets us obey God. Grace changes your heart. Grace makes you pure. That is covenant faithfulness. That you are living out your belonging to Christ in the daily details of obeying him in all things. That you and I are not free to pursue our selfish ambitions. That Jesus, having become your Lord, has the place, the rightful place in your life to determine what you are, what you do, where you go, whom you marry. And that he doesn't have a say when things go wrong. That he has a say and they say about what you do. Either he has that place or you are lost. Many times, I've had to define what believing in Jesus is. To believe in the Lord Jesus, in very simple language, is to give to Jesus the same place inside your heart that God has given to Jesus in heaven. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ means giving to Jesus in your heart the same place that God has given to Jesus in heaven as Lord and as King. If it is not that, you are not saved and you have not believed. You have not believed in the Christ. You have believed in a miracle worker, as some who believe that go to a native doctor to receive something. That kind of believing is not believing unto salvation. The revelation that Jesus is the Christ consists of giving Jesus the same place inside your heart that God has given to him in heaven. There is a believing in Jesus which doesn't produce salvation. The Bible has many references to it. But go with me to John chapter 2. The Gospel of John chapter 2. Verse 23 to 25. Hey, let somebody else read. And read loud.
John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man.
Yeah. Here are believers. The Bible says they are, the Bible calls them believers. They saw the great miracles that Jesus was doing. They were spellbound by the power of God. And the Bible says that they believed in him. So we have here a situation where there are believers that don't have Christ. Because it says Jesus did not give himself to them. And yet it says they had believed. This is the believing that is profit-oriented. This is the believing in Jesus as the source of something. And there are multitudes in America, multitudes in our ministry, who have believed like this. They came to a miracle worker and they have believed in the Jesus that gets things done in one way or the other for them. And the Bible says that they believed and they don't have Christ. They believed in him, but he didn't give himself to them. You have some grapes that don't have seed. Not so. We have some upstairs and we have been chewing them since morning. Seedless grapes. These ones are Christless believers. They believed and they don't have Christ. And it is not because they don't want Christ. It's because Jesus did not give himself to them. He doesn't give himself to all who believe. To believe unto salvation is to give Jesus the same place within your heart and in your life that the God of heaven has given to Jesus in heaven. And in heaven, what is the place that God has given Jesus? He has given him the highest throne, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that he is Lord. When Jesus is within you, in your heart, what he is in heaven, bringing every thought captive to his obedience, bringing every desire within you captive to obedience, bringing every action, aligning your whole personality and your desires to himself, you are believed unto salvation. Until then, you are just one of those attracted to Jesus because of what he can do. the same phenomenon as those who go to a native doctor. And they are ready to do what the native doctor demands. If he wants a goat, they bring a goat. If he wants a chicken, they bring a chicken. Why? Those are the conditions for obtaining what they are seeking. There is a certain kind of believing, which is like meeting the conditions to obtain what you are seeking. That is not believing unto salvation. It is the kind of believing where men believe and end up not having Christ. They believe and their lives are not changed. And there are many who are like that. So many who are like that. Crowds of them who are like that. Crowds. Those who believe in Christ, in Jesus, as the Christ of God. That is, those who have given him the place in within them that God has given Jesus. If you have accepted Jesus in your life, in the capacity in which God has given him to you, you are saved. But to accept Jesus in terms of only what he can do and what he has done and the wonders you have seen him do in the lives of others, you are a believer. The Bible says you are. But you don't have Christ and you will perish. You missed it all. You are an abortion. You almost got saved, but you were born dead. Such people are not saved. True believing in Christ involves obeying him unto salvation. True believing in Christ involves obeying him unto salvation. It changes men's minds, alters their dispositions, refines and purifies their desires. And it conditions their behavior. That is believing unto eternal life. If your own wasn't like that, in Cameroon, sometimes you cook cocoyams and they don't get done well. So in Nigeria, one lady told me that this one wasn't born again. He was born wuru wuru. That is, he started getting cooked and he didn't get done. The burning was not finished. Ephraim is a half-baked cake. The process did not go through. The covenant terms were not observed. There is a futile believing. There is a futile believing. Don't be one of those who have believed for nothing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul says that we preach that Jesus Christ... No, sorry, let's read it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now, believe, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. So even the Apostle Paul talks about a believing in vain. The persuasion of men that men hear you and that men choose to follow you doesn't say that they have eternal life. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached. There is a content to the gospel. Believing is embracing a certain understanding called the gospel. Intelligently, not just emotionally. Otherwise, you believed in vain. Don't you feel how horrible it is? When I was younger, I read about, it was one of the sermons of Theodore Austin Sparks. And he mentioned that the centurion believed three times. That the Samaritans who met Jesus believed two times. You know, when the woman from Samaria had gone and told the people in the village, they believed and they came to Christ. And after they had stayed with Christ, they now told the woman, this time we believe. Not because you said so, but because we have heard him ourselves and we are convinced that this is the Savior of the world. Please, you may have believed the first time because Jesus attracted you. You may need to believe the second time until you get down to truly believing. Even if you have to do it believing 10 times. Believe until you believe in Jesus as the Christ of God so that you obey him. Have you heard? Don't believe one time. You have many senior brothers and sisters in the Bible. Some believe three times until they got down to the believing that produces obedience. Yes, there is a believing that produces obedience. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I preached that men should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by works of obedience. So there is a believing unto salvation. In the covenant, in the new covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation for those who obey him. For those who obey him. Brethren, that's the way it is. It is covenant faithfulness. I belong to Jesus. He has claimed me by his blood. So I'm like a woman whose bride price has been paid. I'm not free. I'm not free to do with my life what I want. Somebody else owns it. And to allow the person who owns my life and who has bought it at the price of his blood to rule it is what belonging and believing in Christ is all about. That is covenant faithfulness. Has that been understood? Yeah. That is covenant faithfulness. It is faithfulness to somebody because of a defined relationship. It is not a relationship where you are my friend. We go out as long as it's all right. And then, if we can't stand one another, we break up, start new partnerships, and go along until we break up again. It doesn't work that way with Jesus. Somehow, if that's how you understood it, you got it wrong. With Jesus, You come in, you belong to him, he is Lord. He is Lord. And you will obey him. He has become the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. All who obey him. I want us to pray a little about that. That we will understand. When you were baptized into the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you were raised, your baptism meant that the life that you were living before meeting Jesus, you have ended it. Your ambitions, you had buried them. In fact, as far as your family is concerned, after baptism, you are a ghost. That is, you had really died and you had been baptized. Like they say in French, when you come out of the water, tu es un revenant. You are not the same anymore. You have been there and you are back. That is the way we are to relate to our former life, to our former relatives. In baptism, you buried your whole world. It was a grave. It was a grave. You love your wife. If she died and came back in the night to visit you that same night, you will scream. I am sure of it. No matter how much you love her, you will scream. And you will beg her to go to where... to where the dead are supposed to be. You will not hug her and say, ah, darling, welcome. There is no woman here. No matter how much you love your husband, if he died today and in the night he came back to shake your hand for one last time, you will beg him and say, please, go, go, go. I don't know you. In baptism, there was a severance. We were severed from all our former attachments. And the Bible says when we rose up from that water, it was unto newness of life, that we may live henceforth for God. That we may live henceforth for God. To be baptized and maintain all your attachments to your former life, to your friends, to your village, to your nation. To be baptized and have problems of tribalism, nepotisms, cultural affiliations. You didn't quite understand what baptism was. In baptism, the nation of Cameroon for you remained in the water. Cameroon doesn't resurrect. Your tribe remained in the water. It doesn't resurrect. What resurrects is only the new man in Christ. If you did not get it right, and after the baptism, you are craving Cameroonian dishes. Well, please, if you find it, there is no prohibition about eating Cameroonian dishes. Even the Lord Jesus ate fish after his resurrection. Please eat whatever is available when they bring it. But if you come out and you are really anxious to remain a Cameroonian, you do not understand what your baptism was all about. In Christ, there is neither tribe no nationality, no racialism, neither Greek, nor Hebrew, nor Jew, but one new man. That is what baptism is. And that's what the covenant belonging to God is. For us Gentiles, it has taken away our foreignness to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is all buried there in the water. You come out to live a Christian life. It is a new culture. Our citizenship is above, from whence we await a Savior, the Lord Christ, who shall change our lowly bodies like unto his glorious body. We do have a citizenship. It's not in Cameroon. It's not America. It is a citizenship above. And there, that is where our loyalty is. All subordinate attachments ended in the initiation process of becoming Christians. That's how it is. For you, for me, for anybody. And that's the gospel. If you didn't get it right, it doesn't pay in believing again. The Samaritans stayed enough with Jesus to believe a second time. And if it was necessary to believe a third time, they would have believed. Romans chapter 1 says, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God has been revealed, which is by faith from first to last. So you may believe today. You may have gotten it all wrong, that you can give your life to Christ and yet rule it. That you can give your life to Christ and tell your child you can never marry an Italian. Yeah. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. He has become the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. I'd like a few people to pray. That's where we are. That's what we have become. Let us remember that we belong to another. We have died and our lives are hid with God in Christ Jesus. We have died. Please touch your nose and tell yourself, I have died. You may not feel like dead, but please, you have died. You died. It sounds funny for a corpse to be reminding itself that it has died. You have died. And your life is hid with God in Christ Jesus. The grave in which you were buried was your baptism. And we came out of that water that we may no longer live for ourselves, but that we may live unto God. It has practical applications. If it remains for you just the letter in the scriptures, you are dead in your sins and trespasses. You are not born again. That is an elementary understanding of our covenant relationship to God. And every covenant is sealed by blood. The old covenant was sealed by the blood of the sacrifices. The new covenant is sealed by the blood of Christ. And we belong to that blood. And according to the scriptures, if you violate that covenant, you have despised the blood of Christ. And after that, there is no further sacrifice for sins. You are damned forever. Those who violate the covenant of belonging to Christ, there will be no other Savior. If you understand it that way, then you understand that faithfulness is not an option. It is an obligation. I must be faithful. I am not free to do it the way I want. Look. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From verse 14 to verse 17. Can someone read it?
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Verse 13. Verse 14 to 17.
For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come.
Amen. That Christ died means all died. And he died so that those who are alive may no longer live for themselves. The implications of the death of Christ is so that you may no longer live for yourself, but live for the one who loved you and died. So you have died. And now you are no more free. Or rather, you are free in a certain way. Free from your former life. So that you may no longer live for yourself, but for the one who loved you and died for you. That is covenant faithfulness. It simply means being faithful to the relationship. I plead with some people to stand up and pray that we will understand it. If not, will produce a Christianity like John chapter 2. A people attracted to a wonderful Jesus without Christ. And the churches are full. You remember there were many crowd. There was a great crowd that followed Jesus. Sometimes they stayed with him 3 days without eating. Their commitment was great. They could go on a retreat and on a convention for 3 days without food. And there is no way in the Bible where the Bible calls them Christians. To have been attracted to Jesus and to follow him, even to the point of sacrificing and being with him 3 days without a meal, did not constitute believing. And Jesus did not seem to be particularly anxious to make people stay with him. But Peter said, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. To whom else shall we go? We have believed and know that you are the Christ. I'd like a few people to pray that we will understand the covenant terms of our relationship with God and be faithful to it.
Amen. Lord, our God, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for this gathering. I want to thank you for this opportunity that you are giving us to better understand the theme of our covenant with you. Father, I am grateful that I am here tonight. I am grateful, Papa, that you can open the eyes of my understanding
to understand in a better way, Father, what it means to be in you. Father, I am the portrayal of somebody who got it wrong. And Lord, I want to ask you, Jehovah, that you will allow me to be born again. Father, for the second time that I will come to you, not believing for the wonders, but Father, believing because I am subject to you. Oh Lord, I submit myself. And I call, Father Lord, on behalf of my brethren also, who are here who may be like me. Oh Jehovah, that you will grant us that grace. Father, that we will be born again for the second time. Father, that this time, Lord, it will not be for the signs and wonders, but Father, it will be for the covenant that we enter into with you. I ask you this, Lord, through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you may allow us that grace. In Jesus' name, Father, Lord, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we pray, oh God, that you give us the ability to understand your word. Father, give us the ability, oh God, the capacity to understand what is going on in our spiritual life, so that we can do it again if need be, O God. So that we can repent and believe again, so that we can put things right. Father, grant that we will not live here untouched by this message. Grant that we will not go out here, O God, without being committed that, Lord, we are your true children, your true servants, and that we are walking according to the principle, according to the status that you have already set, O God. We pray that you open our minds, our understanding, to know what is being taught. But so that it will not be another meeting, but Lord, that it will be a time of spiritual revival in our lives, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you today. Lord, I want to thank you for the price that you paid on the cross, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I don't belong to myself, Lord. I thank you that I belong to you, Lord. I thank you for giving us this word today of covenant faithfulness, Lord. Father, we may understand faithfulness in different ways, but Lord, I'm so grateful to understand faithfulness to you today. I'm so grateful to understand that I have no choice in the matter. I'm so thankful that your blood was shed for me. And because your blood was shed for me, I must obey. Lord, I confess here today that I will obey you, Lord, Father God, in all things, not just one thing or two things, but in everything that you would have me to be, Lord, I will be that. And Lord, I just thank you for this word today. And I thank you that you abide in me and I abide in you, and that you and I are one and our Heavenly Father. Lord, I just thank you so much. And I'm so grateful for this word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you again for your word. Understanding that all covenants are sealed in the mighty blood of Jesus, that you did not die in vain. Father, you died so I can live. Father, you free me from the world of darkness so I can become your slave in your kingdom. I pray that you help me to understand all your covenants. I pray that you help me to graduate from the elementary covenant to the covenant faithfulness, which is completely dying to self, chaining myself to you, obeying you, and doing nothing else but your will. I pray that you seal it in my heart. I pray that I will not leave this place without receiving it, because you say in your word, ask in the name of Jesus and it shall be given. And that is the reason as to why I ask. Father, you give it to me, I beg you, and seal it into my heart. Don't let me go back to California empty-handed. I beg you, you teach me your covenant, the true covenant. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
No, I've made it very complicated. It's your praying that shows me that I've made it complicated. I am saying, Sister Jackie, that the day you were believing, more than just coming to be forgiven for your sins, more than just coming to Jesus for that which he will do to you in the misery of that which sin had brought you to, that what you were doing was that you were entering into a covenant. In simple language, you were marrying Jesus.
Amen.
After that, after you signed the wedding and signed the marriage certificate, you are no longer, you cannot remain Jacqueline to go Jackie. Where you like, do what you like, have as friends those you care about, and just go along with your life as you would have done if you were uncommitted. Now you belong to another, and you can act as you like. It is a marriage. It is a Amen. Pact.
Amen.
It is an initiation
Amen.
Sealed by blood. If after that you act the way you like, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to verse 31. Read it slowly so that the brethren will understand. I don't want to make much comment. And it's for Jackie especially.
26 to what?
31.
If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
And this falling into the hands of the living God is belonging to God and yet acting as if you are on your own. The writer of Hebrews says, it's not a joke. To keep on deliberately sinning after you have received the knowledge of the truth is to have, you have trampled underfoot Jesus. You have despised the blood of the covenant that set you apart. And you have insulted the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says after that, you have become God's enemy. This is becoming God's enemy by becoming a believer who continues to sin. There is the blood of the covenant. Do not despise it. And it is that which sets you apart. That is what makes the devil not touch you. It is because you have been set apart by the blood of the covenant. You belong to another.
Satan has to respect the fact that you belong to another. That is the covenant, the New Testament. Believing is marrying. I'm saying so because, see, when you pray, you said the smaller covenant. There is no small covenant. elementary covenant. There is no elementary covenant. From the day you said yes to Jesus, you had lost your rights on yourself. In fact, you women ought to be the ones teaching us those things. Because we are the men. We come around and say, please, will you marry us? And you say, yes. And after that, you belong to us. And you even abandon your father's name and take up our name. And you go all over carrying the sign of your bondage to us with a ring. Saying, I am another's own. I am another's own. I am another's own. And you do it joyfully. And many of you call us to church to celebrate the day you are abandoning your father to follow a stranger and call it marriage. Imagine a young girl meets a stranger and invites everybody to celebrate the fact that she is abandoning the only people she has known for 20-something years to start off a journey with a stranger. And we all come and dance because you are entering a covenant. But and when you enter into that boat, you are in that boat for life. Good. According to the Bible, you come out of that boat only by death. By death. The day you believed in Jesus. Maybe it's because many of you did not call us to celebrate the fact that you were marrying Jesus. Like Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus at least gathered all his friends to hold a party that he had turned to Jesus. Such people don't forget that they have believed. Because they become slaves of Jesus from that day. So maybe some of you need to do wedding anniversary with the Lord Jesus. It will help remind you that you don't belong to yourself. That is a little about being faithful. The covenant, whether you only said a small yes or you said a big yes, whether the yes was full of enthusiasm or it was full of modesty, I know many people here. If you were to hear the story or have every man here propose to a woman, you will hear all kinds of different shades of yes. Some who said a yes, putting down their heads and crying. Some who said a yes, jumping up and dancing. And some who said a yes only by looking tearfully at this Mr. Savior who has come. You will hear all sorts. How you said a yes really doesn't matter. Even if you whispered it. And the same thing with the devil. The consent to belong to Satan doesn't have to be something that you scream it. If you only went to a native doctor once or take up horoscopes to look at it, even your fundamental interest in the devil constitutes consent. And the demons that you invited, they will follow you home. The demons don't wait for you to make your consent enthusiastic before they take you seriously. Just a little. Just pick up the horoscopes. Just become interested in the things of the devil. He knows you are his friend. And he will follow you. So it's not how you did it and what the emotions were. You belong to Christ.
and I belong to Christ. And the implications are heavy and loaded. We live a new life within a covenant. It confers upon us citizenship. And yeah, there are some marriages that confer citizenship. Not so. If you marry an American, do you become an American? Do you? After? Yes, of covenant faithfulness. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, there will I die. The turning to Christ has given us a new country, a new lifestyle, a new family. And a new vocation. And what we have said about covenant faithfulness to our Lord Jesus Christ in salvation applies spiritually to all spiritual relationships. In general, the Bible says, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Anything else comes from the devil and from the evil one. Some have taken spiritual commitments. Some say, I want to be a disciple. And some say, I want to be a co-worker. And some say, I want to be a friend. In all those commitments, God requires faithfulness. Except where faithfulness will infringe upon the higher faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Where any allegiance infringes upon the greater allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, that allegiance is null and void. If you got into a blood covenant and a blood pact with a young man, you can be free by another pact. The pact with the blood of Jesus Christ. It takes only the blood of Christ to break the power of another blood bond. But you can be free. You can be free. A young girl in a village in Nigeria shocked me by some revelation. She told me, this virgining is a covenant, a blood covenant. You gave your blood to a man. That's why the memories never finish. I was shaken about the implications of sexual impurity before marriage. So many of you have blood covenants in your marriages with a man who disvirgined you. That's why you cannot settle restfully in the home where you are. You can find freedom through the blood of another covenant, of the new covenant.